Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
NBC's Trial and Error may just be America's new comedy obsession. And the critics can't get enough, calling Trial and Error outrageous, fun, and filled with belly laughs.
Where were you the night Margaret was murdered?
I went to get gardening supplies.
Fantastic. I'm sure they have security video.
One shovel, one tarp, and let's throw in this ski mask.
John Lithgow stars in Trial and Error. Tomorrow after the battle rounds on The Voice on NBC.
Here's an interesting fact for you. There are nearly 1 million new books published in the U.S. alone every year. So if you like to read, how do you choose what you're going to read? Well, that's where Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews comes in. You see, Kirkus has been one of the top book review publications for over 80 years. They do a deep dive on thousands of titles every year, including interviewing best-selling authors and telling you what might be the hot new release before everyone else knows. And it's coming to Podcast One in just a few weeks. So keep your eyes and ears open for Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dave Barry, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Matt Atchity is here with the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, he wasn't a fan of Chuck Berry's work as a musician, but he loved his work as a pervert, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for sharing all the good news we give you every day here on the show. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Hey, Bald Brian.
In case I haven't made it clear, you suck.
Matt Atchity, everybody. Just checking Matt Atchity. Just checking them Rotten Tomatoes today. Always looking and seeing what's out there. Oh, man, just blindsided with Kong. I never go and see movies.
Did you see Kong?
No, because I said to Sonny, I said, Sonny, did you see Kong? And he said, yep.
Oh, that's right.
And I said, you want to see it again with your old man? And he said, yep. And he really dug it, Kong. And then I said, good. Saturday night, we shall see Kong. And then the biggest problem was, do we go 3D Kong at 8 p.m. or regular Kong at 5:30 p.m.?
That's a lot of Kong.
It's a lot of Kong and a big decision to make, and then found out there was a kid's birthday party. My house, we don't keep schedules until the thing happens.
Mm. It's happening. It's upon us.
It's until it's upon us, so then I always find out things are upon us. So no Kong.
No big dry erase board in the kitchen.
Not so much.
It's an improv house.
It's an improv house. Fast and loose. Or it's all like a... We're like a jazz quartet, except where nobody can really play. But we improvise. Right. But no one can play their instrument.
So it's modern jazz.
Yeah. It's modern. Yeah. It's a modern jazz
fusion.
Quartet
fusion.
Where nobody where nobody can control
confusion.
Their instruments. But we still jazz refuse. Confusion. We refuse to learn to read music or study it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
we do that thing where like we'll just do it 2, 3, 4, and then everyone just starts doing their own stuff.
What's the plan? Let's.
That's wing right. All right.
Punk rock, right?
I need a suggestion from the audience. Get to the party on time.
But I hear Kong is good. So
you see Kong, actually?
I have not seen Kong.
Oh.
No. It is good.
It's good.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Brian, do not. You're going to give your daughter an eating disorder, I'm telling you. That's a sweet, what is that, a turkey you made out of craft paper? You know, use your hand.
Look at you.
All right, it's a 7.
I mean,
6.5.
It's clearly a hand, but I know what you're going for. It's fine.
It's a good start.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's a cute little movie.
Don't give her an eating disorder the first day on solid food.
That's right.
It's the first day on solid food today.
So we did not see it, but I heard he liked it, and I heard from others it was fun, too. So we're looking forward to that.
It is fun.
I have the version. I told these guys, take my 23-minute live home improvement show from the Eagle Rock Public Access Station, now defunct, from 1993, my original Ace on the House, my home improvement questions.
We saw brief clips of this on the Adam and Carolla Friends Bill Stuff Live.
Right.
Look how young and fresh-faced Adam is.
Yes, just do it. But I said,
same hair, same 5 o'clock shadow.
No more beeps anymore. Just we can just hear what it sounds like live. People actually, and they cut it together, obviously. But
set the table. Public access show before. Was this concurrently with when you started at K-Rock, or is this before that?
This is, I showed this to Jimmy You know the story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I didn't know if you were still doing it. I didn't know if you were still doing it.
Oh, no, no, no. No, I, no.
Gave up that ghost.
Yeah, I was done doing
that. Moved on up.
This was free. So this is before I met Jimmy. This is more than a year before I met Jimmy. And this is the tape I showed him to try to get in the door. But
this is your sizzle reel.
It's my sizzle reel, but let's hear the sizzle reel.
Live, you're on the air, on the house. Give me your home improvement question, your home fix-it question. I'd love to answer it for you. Live, you're on the air.
Yeah, how do you masturbate with the monkey?
You're on the air live. Who is this?
Fuck you.
Live, you're on the air.
Aren't you a wannabe Tim Allen?
You put the linoleum on top of that.
Uh-huh. And do you like to put that on your penis?
Hello, why don't you have men on your wall, you fucking faggot?
What are your home improvement questions? Live from beautiful Eagle Rock, California.
Women be
pathetic.
All
right.
No,
we're going to a... I've been doing this for 10 years.
Okay, fuck you.
Okay.
8-year-old.
A lot of these are children.
Boy, it's just like listening to the podcast.
I know. It was brutal. So brutal.
And you'd never get into it with these guys. You just, they either hang up or you move on.
I don't...
No, fuck you!
I don't care. I had the weirdest thing. I just had a conversation with somebody where somebody said a guy, somebody he was working with or something, called him stupid. And the guy, like, said, that really pissed me off. Like, it really whatevered me. And I thought to myself, I don't think that would piss me off. I mean, unless I thought I was stupid. Mm-hmm. Or whatever critique I've ever gotten, unless I thought that's what was going on. But then it was something other than anger you got back with that washed over me. But no, I figure you do a live public access show and 9-year-old or 14-year-old boys call in and yell, fuck you. I figure that's how it works.
It's part of the description.
Yeah.
Then, and whoever was sitting there, it could be a rabbi sitting there with religion on the line, and they still yell, fuck you.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, you listen to that, and it's a lot like what it would sound like if all of the comments on a YouTube video were on audio.
This was all these people went to be on YouTube commenters.
Right. Yeah.
In their day, they actually had to dial a phone.
Exactly.
I will point out that
couldn't just sit at the other end of a keyboard. Yeah. We had to call someone and be shitty.
Mm-hmm. You were indefatigable, and you were relentlessly upbeat. Like, you could not be brought down by the collar. You're like, hey, with all the line.
I've always found it to be amusing. I don't know why, but I find it amusing.
Yeah.
And not like a condescending, patronizing way. Just, I always found it amusing when
it's
people
part of the
do
game,
that.
If you will.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess growing up how I grew up and being like physically assaulted by my friends so early and often and having horrible things said all the time.
That sets you up for success in career.
I always find this stuff amusing. I mean, maybe being an atheist has something to do with it. I never, also, obviously, you play into their hand.
Yeah, of course.
When you get very upset about it, but that was never a strategy. It was just never found it to be any, they were doing it for humor, and I appreciated them trying humor on my show. That's the way it always felt to me.
Would they ever ask a real question and really set you up for like a long baba booey? Or they
just one guy did, because remember he was like, what do you do?
With the linoleum.
Yeah, the linoleum. He obviously got to do an answer.
There was some of that stuff. It may have been pre-Bubba Booey, but not a F-A-U-E. That was always in vogue. I don't even remember if Howard Stern was on out here in Los Angeles back then. Now, Gary can figure it out. It must have been 92 or 93, somewhere in there, 94. I'm trying to think. But if it was, I may not have been listening to it immediately anyway. All right, hold on. Mike, 52, Newport Beach.
How you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
I wanted to play a game with you. You know, you take a lot of pride, and rightfully so, in having several terms in the Urban Dictionary. So I wanted to play the Urban Dictionary game with you, where I give you guys, you and the crew, and actually you can play, three terms. One of them's a real term from the Urban Dictionary, and the other two are not.
Actually, he's a one-game kind of guy.
I'll thank you, Mike, to let the game hosting
the gamers
to the professionals here.
I like this idea.
Well, I'll tell you what, Matt.
Yeah, hold on. Gary, you're saying national like syndication, but I need to know when it hit Los Angeles.
Yeah, it trickled out.
It was in
not
Los Angeles.
Release.
If it, you got to find Los Angeles.
Give me a moment.
All right, but don't bother with that. Just go find Los Angeles because it may have been in Cleveland or something.
Okay.
All right. Here, because that feels too early for here. But maybe it was. All right, Mike, go ahead.
So yeah.
All right. I already played the game myself. It got a 78. It was certified fresh. But we'll go ahead and do it with you guys and see what you think. All right. The first three terms are Cosby handshake, Cosby sweater, or Cosby cocktail.
Now, we try to figure out whether they're...
One of them
is a real...
One is real.
Real Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, one real entry.
Yeah, I'm going Cosby sweater.
Yeah, one of those
sweater.
Is in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. I know Cosby. So I've heard that term for over a decade, so I'm going to have to say that one.
I'll say Cosby cocktail.
Yeah, I would say Cosby sweater.
Yeah, the perv's got it right. It's Cosby sweater. That's
Thank
the
you.
Act of eating two colorful breakfast cereals such as Fruit Loops and Trix and then vomiting the tacky yet dazzling picture onto the woman's chest.
Oh, my.
So it's a sexy thing.
It's a refluxophile's dream.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
the fact that you know
shockingly, the only member of...
91, July, middle of 91 in Los Angeles is when Stern came on.
Finally, we cracked that egg.
Yes.
Mike, that's a good idea. Do you have another one?
I'm just surprised the only member of Mensa in the room did not know that.
That would be something a member of Mensa would know.
Go, be on the test.
The next one is Polish stepladder, Russian hammer, or Brazilian box cutter.
Please be Polish stepladder.
Brazilian box cutter sounds like an ass.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I'm going to go with Brazilian box cutter.
What was the Russian one? Russian what?
Hammer. Like the movie.
Yeah, I got it. I'll say Polish stepladder.
Yeah, me too. I like that.
I think I'm with Adam. I'm going Brazilian box cutter.
It's Russian hammer. This is what a man's about to finish while receiving oral. He pulls out and starts hitting the woman on her forehead with his penis until he finishes.
Uh-huh.
Show of hands. Anyone try that before?
Why is that Russian?
Yeah.
Does it have to be
a
woman?
Because he's in a rush.
You don't see that a lot in the U.S. You're not expected to know that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So wait a minute. We're all 104 for that one, right?
Are these all sex terms? Because the Urban Dictionary does have things.
Urban Dictionary, Brian, if you look through it, it's pretty much 90%
good,
sex terms.
Mm-hmm.
You got me there. All right, let's hear one more.
All right. Okay. Mississippi mud slick, Alabama hot pocket, or Arkansas anthill.
In college, I heard of the Mississippi mudslide.
Me too.
So I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, it sounds familiar as well, so I'll go with that one as well.
I'm going to go with the hot pocket.
Okay, I'll go with the hot pocket too.
I actually said Mississippi mud slick.
I know, but I'm going with that one.
Okay, it's Alabama hot pocket. It's a vindictive act where a man who's wearing a condom uses Icy Hot or Bengay on the outside of it to give a nasty, painful surprise to the woman. Or a man, if I want to be Deacon Jones politically correct.
Hey, Mike, do you know what an Alaskan pipeline is?
Yeah, that's next week's.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Actually, the winner, everybody.
Thank you.
He wasn't even supposed to play.
Can't help himself from winning. All right.
Much winning.
I'll tell you what. Let me reach a spot here, and then we'll play the game.
Call back anytime, Mike.
You ready? Let's see. Oh, BetDSI. Some BetDSI. March Madness. BetDSI is having $1 million bracket contest. For our listeners, every listener gets a free entry. Gary lost, but he's still in the tourney.
Still up.
A perfect bracket is almost impossible, so they're adding guaranteed prizes for best overall bracket. 200% bonus with first-time deposits. Use the promo code ADAM25. That's ADAM25. Over 20 years in business, top-rated. Read all the sportsbook review sites. They'll tell you BetDSI right at the top. Easy to use from anywhere. Great customer service, 24/7, 365. Live in-game wagering. That's the key. You get to do it as the game is going on. Remember when you'd get locked out? It'd be like a horse race. If you didn't get to the window before they close
the
gate.
Sorry, our bets are off.
Best bet March Madness games live and do it while they're on. You get free $25 just for registering. So plus the 200% bonus on your first deposit. Promo code ADAM25. Let's play the game.
It's time, I really hope it isn't late.
and the gang makes flicks, mad at you. He's a schlubby guy, and when he drops by, the gang has to guess. Do the critics score spanking, rotten or fresh?
All right, so a big movie in theaters this weekend, Beauty and the Beast, set a record for March box office, $170 million.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with the kids,
everybody, you know, you're combining the Disney fan base with Harry Potter fan base. Everybody lined up to see this movie. So we're going to do stars of Beauty and the Beast and their movies for the game today. We're not going to do Emma Watson because it would just be nothing but Harry Potter movies.
Right. Was there, there was a little controversy about the gay character, but not that much.
Well, a certain Indonesian.
Well, not enough to stop him from 170.
I think just Indonesian countries, Malaysia, they pulled the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
I got him in the news.
Yeah.
They were mad about the Beast.
Hey, they said either edited or we're pulling it.
Good news. We got that missing airliner off the front page. Now we have bigotry. Your bigotry.
I meant the makers of the movie.
Oh,
I meant the filmmakers.
I thought you meant Malaysia.
Not much.
Finally, get some good ink.
Well,
anything to get off that airliner off of there.
Still missing.
Still missing, man. Not many people lose 777s for that period of time.
Can't find it for that long.
No, for us, it's like over under on a missing plane's about 45 minutes.
Yeah,
a lot of news out of Malaysia, I guess.
No.
All right, first film stars Emma Watson in a role where she plays herself in this 2013 film. She's trying to survive alongside James Franco, Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, and Jay Baruchel, and Danny McBride, and Craig Robinson, and everybody else in Hollywood. The movie is This Is the End.
I love this movie.
Everyone loves this movie, and I liked it a lot, but it had so many weird... It straddled all these different things. I like the premise, but I just realized I needed to be high to really like
maybe.
This.
Oh, 100%.
I love the movie, and I thought it was one of the best movies of the year when it came out.
But it was like there was a... here's my problem. I think a little too much, too technically. There's a kind of a you can't get out of the house or something. Like, they laid out a bunch of stuff, which was really cool, but then they didn't live by their own rules, I guess, is what it is.
Play fast and loose.
I feel that way a little bit sometimes when there's I don't mind a guy being a superhero, and I don't mind a guy being, Die Hard. But I don't like when they get, in between. Like, the guy circumnavigates the globe, but now he's out of breath. Mm. It's kind of a weird, is he a human, or is he, I'll go all in, or I'll go all out. I felt this straddled that, but it's funny, and you're supposed to get high and laugh.
I laughed a ton.
I think the critics like this because it made fun of Hollywood a lot. And for that reason, 81.
I went higher. I said 90.
I can't imagine it getting that good of a response. I said 78.
This Is the End is certified fresh at 83%.
All right. All right.
Ooh, people had it 71. That's very weird that there'd be very rare that the Hesher comedy gets higher with the critics than it does the people. The Hesher crowd's usually way up. All right.
All right. Next film is featuring Dan Stevens, who plays the Beast and the Prince in Beauty and the Beast. Back in 2014, he played a museum-based Lancelot that comes to life in the third Night at the Museum movie, Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb.
There were three?
There were three.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go with this.
I don't either. I'm sure it just by virtue of the third... No can do, but is it 61% or is it 19%?
Neither of those would surprise me. The range is huge on this movie.
That's me point. Mm. And still are always good. These movies are solid,
they
I are think.
What they are to the kids' movie, the family movies at least.
Were there Robin Williams, other big names or cameos?
Ben Stiller's in this. Rebel Wilson came in for this one. Owen Wilson and Steve Coogan showed up. Reprising their roles. Ben Kingsley. Will do anything.
I'm going to say 53%.
Well, I'm right there with you. 58.
I went 43.
Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb is rotten at 48%.
Take it.
What'd you do? Was that right on?
I said 43.
Oh, 43. All right. Well, still everyone's.
Take it.
Oh, you were 50.
Yeah, 58. 58. Sorry.
58. That's what it was.
Crossed 50 out.
All right. Next up, Ewan McGregor voices the character Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast, the Candelabra, and he appeared in 2001 in another musical opposite Nicole Kidman in a Baz Luhrmann film. This film is Moulin Rouge.
So good.
I think I like this movie.
I remember
watching
movie.
It on, very a, odd. On a plane.
Very fun.
Flying to New York.
Baz Luhrmann is Baz Luhrmannist.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Totally.
Does all not right. get more Baz Luhrmann than this.
I imagine the critics like this kind of movie. Nothing to object to.
I would imagine so.
All right. But in the 90s, in the 80s, in the mid, it's got to be mid-70 up, but did they love it?
It's on all over the place, too, because it's got the modern song set in the turn of the century.
Yeah, it's kind of a jukebox musical.
Yeah. Do they look at that as a cop-out,
though? That's my question.
Or was it so ahead of its time at the time that you were like, oh, this is so fresh and new.
Okay.
Because, of course, it was sort of Glee before Glee was Glee, in a way.
Yeah, this they made had Absinthe a, popular, too.
They had like a Knight's Tale or King Knight or something. They had some sort of thing with Heath Ledger or whatever. Yep. They had that, too. Maybe before this. I don't know if it before or after. All right. 83.
89.
88.
Moulin Rouge is certified fresh at 76%.
Right. You're edging out to a lead, man.
People but had it people? At 89. Yeah.
Take my a Knight's point. Tale is terrible, by the way. That's a terrible movie.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
Yes.
Oh, all I right. will. He should have known better. All right, next up, Josh Gad, who plays the gay character in Beauty and the Beast, spoiler alert, in 2015 starred opposite Adam Sandler in a movie about aliens that come to Earth as video game characters to invade, and video game champions from the 80s are the only defense the Earth has. The movie is Pixels.
Sandler's going to be on Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live
don't
if you're listening tomorrow night.
But this looked don't this bring any looked of them. Really
don't bring
cool.
This is
the trailer was cool.
Adam Sandler's like talking to a guy with 31 ex-wives. Like, you don't pick one not to bring up. Just don't bring up the subject of marriage.
I sent Greta the junket for Blended, and she walks in the room and he says, oh, Rotten Tomatoes, thanks for all the support over the years.
You're just the middleman.
Well, the messenger.
At a certain point, you're just the cajillionaire. You know, you're like McDonald's. Like it's like, yeah, they don't make a great burger. They just get rich. Right. You know, like I always say this about the most overcompensated actor and actress in Hollywood. That's the smartest actor and actress in Hollywood. When they go, Halle Berry makes $21 million a film, yet her film's only gross. She's a genius.
Yes.
that's really it's
agent of the year.
Yeah, what you don't her want agent. Is the one that got scale and the thing made $300 million. That's
right.
That's,
Sandler's getting people to pay for his vacations and he gets a bunch of money.
Right.
Sounds like a plan.
I mean, sure. Right. Okay, the movies are rotten. Big deal.
This was directed by someone notable, Chris Columbus.
Chris Columbus.
That was it. Yeah.
Now, my take on this movie was, I didn't know in modern times, with the technology and the computers and all that kind of stuff, I didn't know we could make a horrible movie for kids. Like, I've been so used to like Disney and Pixar and Disney and Pixar.
Au contraire, mon frère.
And everything was like somewhere between 75 and 100%. I didn't know.
Now we got monster trucks.
You could do this anymore.
Exactly.
But I do remember people not liking this film quite a bit.
And bombed quite heavily.
It's also one of those things, too, where it's like, it's a kid's film that's mostly all computer generated. Like, how much vitriol, how bad can it be
Pac-Man
from a critic standpoint?
Right? Right?
What kids remember Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Galaga
it's
and Centipede?
Their...
All right. I'm going to say, well, I think we figured out it's low, but now we always have that thing.
Like, or it could be the one fresh film of his in the last 20 years.
Is it 9%? Is it 19? I'm going to say low at 21%.
Ooh, very close at 25.
29.
Pixels is rotten at 16%.
Oh, no!
You're just edging out to a lead with everyone.
I'm going into a four corner here. Four corner. Spread that ball
prevent
around.
Defense.
Prevent, man.
All right. Lastly, the character of Cogsworth, the clock, was voiced by Ian McKellen in Beauty and the Beast. And in 2014, he played Gandalf the Wizard for the last time in The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Oh, boy.
How many Hobbit movies were there?
There were three Hobbit movies.
Oh, wait.
Movies.
How many did it feel like? 200 billion.
Right.
Oh, God. Arguing with people about watching half my life is arguing with people about not watching The Wire, and the other half is not watching The Hobbit. every time I try to watch, I see a little naked creature. And I was like, I can't. It hurts my teeth. It hurts my teeth. And by the way, I never approved of this wizardry. Yeah. I never was into that. I remember when this stuff came out, I used to make fun of Led Zeppelin album covers because of this. Like, I've never. This is a world. I watch a sports movie. I'll watch a sci-fi movie. I'll watch anything, Godzilla, whatever. But I can't.
I'll watch this, Pac-Man destroy San Francisco.
This world, I've never been interested in. This world.
And, Middle Earth?
Yes, Middle Earth and reading and everything else. All right. Boy, did Matt pick the right movie for this, because I've never seen any of them, and I have no idea whether it's one of those things where, oh, the first one was in the 90s and then it just trailed off, or, oh, no, the second one was better than the first one.
Hit their stride.
I'm at no advantage here because I didn't see any Hobbit movies either.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is nobody's genre. I'm
trying to protect a lead. I don't remember hearing it was horrible. I think they're all pretty good. 73.
Damn it. I said 70. Damn it.
I went low. I said 51.
The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, is rotten.
Oh!
Yes.
At 59%.
Oh, well, that's as high as a rotten can be. Right. You were smart to go low.
Yeah.
People had it at 75.
Well, people are nerds.
Oh, yeah, man.
Who's going to see this?
Oh, Gina. That was, now, when this I heard rotten, up, that was big, except for 59 is the top of the rotten.
Yeah.
I think I still might have eked this one out.
Let's see.
Gary will tell us. Brian lost.
Keep going.
50 points.
50 points on a bad score.
Adam and Gina, both of your scores end in 3. The last number is.
Oh.
And Adam's is 10 less than yours at 33. Gina, you clocked in with a 43 second place. The Ace Man gets the win.
Yeah. Well done.
Very respectable. Hey.
Rotten or fresh.
Let me pay both of you a compliment. You made me up my game. You made me try harder to beat you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, normally I just sort of relax and roll over my opponents, but you guys actually made me work harder.
That's typically what happens. You're right.
And then eventually crush you, but work harder to do it. Yeah. I don't know who gives those compliments, but they're the worst backhanded compliments ever. Like, you really forced me to step up
my
game.
Get off my chair.
Yeah. All right.
I got a story about that I've never told before. You remember I coached high school football for 2 years? I was an assistant JV coach. I wasn't a very high level coach. It was fun. It was a school in the Valley.
At Notre Dame.
Harvard-Westlake.
Oh, Harvard. Same place.
It was kind of an ooh-la-la kind of thing.
I know.
Those are the rich.
It was Harvard. Yeah, Notre Dame's still down in the Valley. Harvard's up Coldwater.
Yes, correct.
Was that still 8-man football at that point?
It should have been. Because we had a JV team of about 21 guys. Like, we were thin. Yeah. But our head JV coach got thrown out of a game for yelling at a referee. And he didn't say anything really that bad, but he yelled at a referee and he got kicked out. And in league rules, you're kicked out of the next game, too. So I got promoted to head coach for one game.
Wow.
And it was against St. Francis. It was against someone really good in the Valley. It was the league game. It was one of the last games of the year. And long story short, I had no business head coaching. We lost 7-2. We lost 7-2 on a last minute touchdown. Like, we were leading 2-0 for a lot of the game. It was a real defensive struggle.
It's a safety.
Yes. Okay. We scored an unlikely
good
2 points. After the game, you know, team gets around, they're huddled up, they're kind of disappointed, you know, and I'm like, hey, you guys, you know, we played pretty well. Their coach comes over from their huddle and he asked if he can address the team. And I'm the head coach.
Team?
Yeah. He says, head coach. He's an older guy. He's been coaching there for a number of years, obviously.
Hell no.
And he comes over and he's like, can I address your team? I was like, sure. Guys are all on, you know, taking a knee, or all huddled around. And he says, we're the better team, but you guys kicked our ass today. You guys should hold your heads high. We should have beat you, handily or soundly, whatever he said. He basically, it was a bit of a backhanded compliment. I know what he was trying to say. He's like, we should have whipped your asses, but you guys kicked our asses today, and you should be impressed.
This was the guy who was the JV head coach for years?
Yeah.
For years.
Just, let's put that in perspective.
It was a ham-handed compliment. I knew he was going for it.
Football, baseball, not so much. Football's one of those sports where you know pretty pretty early and often whether you're outmanned, literally just by the size of some of the other guys. Yeah.
They were much more talented than
us. There's a satisfaction with giving a hard team a kind of run for their money, and there isn't a lot of head hanging. It's weird. That's why I don't like about the participation trophies and everything. Which is also because when a team does well, they know it, and when a kid does well, they know it. And participation trophies have been around since I was playing Pop Warner football. That's not it's weird. I don't like that we call it that. It's not. Everyone always got a participation trophy. Mm-hmm. Now that's good. You showed up. You made every practice. You showed up at every game. You suited up. And at the end of this 3 month period, you shall get this little plastic statue that acknowledges that you accomplished it. And now we're giving out best defensive player, best defensive back, best offensive, MVP. Like everyone, the baseline is everyone showed up. Everyone gets this. And now we're giving out the good stuff. I just was, Dave Barry's on now. Hold on 1 second. I found, when I was in the other warehouse going through all the old pictures, as I told you guys, trying to find the old stuff and find everything, I found that old picture that was in, I think, not Taco Bell material of me when I was 11 or 12 getting my trophy from Mr. Fitzgerald. And what I realized what happened was, so I played for the East Valley Trojans, and at the end of the year, and everyone should just do it this way, at the end of the year, the kids just voted for the player in the position that they thought should win the trophy. So they had best offensive lineman, best defensive lineman, MVP, most improved, best defensive player, best offensive player. They broke it up into categories. I, because of my horrific family, didn't think, even though I was 10 or 11, I didn't think it was okay to vote for yourself.
Right.
So
I like that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for everyone but me, really. It's good for everyone but me. But even at the age of 10, I didn't think it was proper.
Right.
You shouldn't be writing your own name down. I thought I was the best offensive lineman. I thought I was the best defensive lineman. But I wrote down Jance Fitzgerald's name and Sean Steen's name in place of me in these two categories. And evidently, when the coaches tallied them up, and they could probably see the fact that I looked like I was having an epileptic seizure when I was riding, and I misspelled everyone's name, and knew
Fitzgerald was not spelled correctly.
Yeah, it was way. They knew.
Yeah.
So when they tallied everything up, I think they went, Adam missed best, or Carolla as I was known. I missed best offensive lineman by vote, and I bet missed best defensive lineman by vote, and it's because I wouldn't vote for me that made me not win that trophy in either department.
Some election shit.
So you got most humble.
The guys. So they were. Somebody was thoughtful enough and probably saw my family and my dad and my mom and stuff and saw
never
me
saw your
and my first grade riding ability and stuff and went, we should get him a cool trophy that says best all around offensive and defensive player.
Ooh.
So when
best both ways.
When Mr.
That's right.
But the real pathetic, there's two super pathetic parts of this story that have to do with me. And Gary, that picture's in the archive there. It's just me holding the trophy up at my grandparents' house. It was the night before Christmas. We'd always go to my grandmom's house and decorate the rubber tree plant. And I was sitting there, and somebody rang the doorbell. And the season had ended a month ago, or a month and a half ago. And it always ends around Halloween or something.
Thanksgiving-ish. Yeah,
and so the season had gone for an hour and a month and a half. And there's a ring on the doorbell. And I think I went to go answer the door and, slid it open. And there was Mr. Fitzgerald just standing there. And it was weird seeing him off the field and not in the context. And he's a regular guy. He has a car and he drives places and stuff. And I was like, he was a big guy, too. And I said, and his son was Jance, the guy who won on offense. And I said, Mr. Fitzgerald, what are you doing here? And he said, well, we got something for you. And I was like, oh, okay.
Come round the rubber tree.
And he showed up. And it was in a box. You can't really wrap a trophy. Yeah. It would show up like in a expensive dress shirt box is what it looked like. But it was a box. And I was just using my 11-year-old brain. And I thought, oh, box. Oh, it looks like a some kind of clothes box or something. And then I went, oh, my God, it's a windbreaker. I was so excited.
It's all I want.
That's all I wanted was a wind. Put a football patch on it. Yeah. You can get fully lined. Not partially. Fully lined with the fleece on the inside. Mm-hmm. Or just a regular maroon with the patch, East Valley Trojans patch on there. And you get your name embroidered. And I was like, it's a windbreaker. I remember being really excited because these things like windbreakers were like way out of bounds for the Corollas, but they felt sorry for me. Like all the other kids had their windbreakers with their names, and sometimes they'd run track and they'd put the little track foot on there. They play basketball for the Trojans, and they have a bunch of little things on there. Or they went, you know, East Valley Conference champs, and they'd put the. We'd win. They'd give me the patch, but I'd just go home.
Nowhere.
Just go home and sniff it. No, there's nothing to do with the patch.
Look
you
at
know
it
what
longingly.
I mean? Just look at it longingly. So I was like,
I had something to put these patches on.
I was like, oh my God, I've got it. They're giving me a windbreaker. This is the greatest gift a coach could bestow upon a young player. And I opened it up. Gary, you got that picture some.
We're looking.
It's there. Do you know what you're looking for?
Yeah, a picture of you holding a trophy in your grandmother's living room.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, it's just sitting there. It's in the pile.
Wait, what pile?
It's on whatever computer had all the book pictures on it. It's okay. In the book picture file. Remember the book part?
Yeah, I'm going through what Lynch gave me from the books. I'm not seeing it on this computer, but we'll find it.
You'll find it. I know it's in the book. So I opened it up, and there was this trophy. Best all-around offensive and defense player, which you don't get better than that.
Yeah.
But I was still bummed out that it wasn't a windbreaker. I could have been using that windbreaker today.
I'm glad you brought up most improved. I got that trophy in high school, and I remember thinking years later, I'm like, that's a little backhanded. Like, how bad was I?
Did you think it at the time?
Maybe a couple days later.
I thought at the time, I got it
in high school, too.
I got that at a pizza party after softball, and I was embarrassed to get up and get that.
That's a good sign. Although you should enjoy it, it's still a good sign.
Didn't feel good.
All right, Dave Barry is on the blower. Matt Atchity, everybody. RottenTomatoes.com is where you go. And you can see all the features and all the TV shows now. It's unbelievable. You can check out the podcast at Rotten Tomatoes Podcast, and that's available at iTunes, and you know what to do. So just go to RottenTomatoes.com. Thank you, Matt Atchity.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. Dave Barry's online, too. Dave?
Hello.
Hey, man. Good to speak to you.
Same here. I would have voted for you for best offensive lineman.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Now
you would have the vote to put you over the edge.
And it would have been.
Except I never would have been. I would never have been on your football team. But other than that.
Yeah, it would have been weird because you would have been 31.
Oh, yeah. But so I might actually have done it then. I might have had a shot.
Dave, man, I don't even want to know how many books you've written in your life.
Well, a lot of them are really short books, and some of them are not even really books at all, but just collections of columns. So if we eliminate all those, it's still a lot.
This latest one is called, I'll say it as chewy as I can, For This We Left Egypt?
Exactly.
That's pretty good.
I channeled Phil Rosenthal. A Passover.
This is a Haggadah.
Haggadah for Jews and those who love them. It's available at Amazon right now. You calling from Florida?
I am from Miami.
Did I see you on 60 Minutes a few years back talking about this?
Wait, talking about what?
Florida.
I don't know. It's possible. Every now and then I get called upon to represent the state of Florida.
You become that? How did you find yourself in that role?
I'm just, you know, because I've been here a long time and I've written millions of columns about it. And, you know, people do incredibly weird, stupid things here all the time. Some people are always like, okay, let's call somebody down there and find out what's going on in Florida.
Yes.
You know, and that's always me. And my big argument, just for the record, I'll get it out there, is yes, many weird, stupid things happen here. But very often the people who are committing these acts do not come from here. And
yeah.
I'll give you like the one of the more famous examples. Yeah, a couple of years ago, this woman, you I'm sure saw this because it became international news. She's driving on the overseas highway southbound, which connects Miami to Key West. And she wants to shave her bikini region because she wants to see her boyfriend in Key West. And so, according to the police report, now some people would pull over to the side of the road, right, to do that?
I always do.
Amateurs.
She, She, instead of that, she decided to outsource the steering of the car to the person in the passenger seat, who, as it happened, was her ex-husband.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that she's, they're driving south, and she's operating the accelerator, and he's steering. What could go wrong, right?
Right.
One in a million chance, the car in front of them slowed down, and they hit it. But it's like, and it became international news. A woman is shaving her crotch on, you know, on Florida. Oh my God, these Florida people. That woman was from Indiana. That's my point.
Well, let me counter that with this. First off,
spring break.
I invented a game many, many years ago called Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
And all you had to do is think of the craziest stories ever. It's not, well, it's not double homicide. It's, you know, solicited for a human being and ate his testicles with a nice Chianti. And that would be Germany or Florida.
Uh-huh.
They share. It's not like there's more aggravated assaults in Germany. There's more weird
exotic
crime,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
Germany.
No, I'll
Florida
give you that.
As well.
I'm just saying,
yes,
they're not from here. Like, if for some reason, if a guy in Ohio decides he wants to pleasure himself into a stuffed animal in a Walmart, he will drive all the way to Florida to do that. We,
yeah,
are like Ellis Island for stupid, weird people down,
but,
here.
But one could argue that's its own form of sort of damning, its own damning praise, well, there,
yeah,
in a weird way,
true,
which is
true.
People
we
go there
you
to do it. Like,
they
think it's
go
okay to do it there.
That's true. It's a large part of our economy, so I'll give you that.
The book, as I'm looking at it now, I realize is right to left, right? Like
yeah, if you read it from left to right, it's a very sad story about people who start out free in Israel and end up as slaves in Egypt. So you should read it the other direction.
Give us a give us a day for David Barry. What is a?
It is so boring, really boring. I mean, I get up really early because my daughter goes to high school, which starts insanely early here in Florida, and drive her to school, then come home and work, you know, sit in front of a computer for hours and hours trying to think of funny things to say, and then, you know, give up altogether on that and answer. It's just a boring thing to be a humor writer. You sit in front of a computer all day. And the thing is, people assume that you're doing just wacky things, you know, crazy, wacky things. So, like, if I go to the supermarket here, I'll be standing in, like, the cereal aisle, looking, you know, trying to decide which size box of Golden Grahams to get, and somebody will come up and go, "Are you going to write about this?"
Yeah.
Like, it's really crazy, wacky thing. I'm like, no, I'm just buying cereal here. So,
well, the I have a question. So, like, you really treating it like a job? I grew up hearing nothing about. It was always just writer's block. He's got writer's block. I became a writer, and I never experienced it. I just treated it like a job.
I don't believe in writer's block.
I don't either.
I know people who claim to have suffered from it, and what I think happens is they have success as writers, and if you do, you know, if you sell a book that does well, you immediately can stop being a writer and start being a writer with a capital W, which means instead of actually writing any more books, you go to all these writers' conferences and you go to workshops, and everybody just asks you what your method is and stuff like that. And after a while, you know, it's like, whoa, this is a lot more fun than writing. I get to go around and talk about it. And after a while, they just really don't want to go back and sit down in front of the computer and do the really kind of boring grind work of writing a book. And they call that writer's block. But I don't think it's real. I think it's just because they don't have to write anymore or whatever. They don't want to. And so they sort of stop.
I always,
like coal miners.
Yeah.
Never stop mining. Like,
no.
Go, oh, man, I just can't mine any more coal.
Yeah,
man.
There's no,
I don't have it in me.
Roofer's block.
Yeah, right. You got to go do it.
No,
it's
I
your
agree.
Job. Go do your job. You know, that's how I feel about writer's block.
I'm with you. And also, I do have this theory, though, that if the idea isn't good and you... I put the... cart in front of the horse there, but what I'm saying is if you're trying to write for something and just nothing's coming and nothing's coming, your idea is probably bad.
Yeah.
If you have a really good idea for a book or screenplay or a TV show or like whatever it is, and it's a really killer idea, usually can't keep up with it. If you find an idea that you think is really good and you just keep trying to write it and you keep and nothing's coming out the other end, it's usually the idea is weak.
I agree with that. And then, you know, the thing there is to just admit it. And give up whatever hours or days you put into it, and start doing something else.
That's why I put AIDS Butler aside and moved on to my next project. It's a long story, David. Yeah. The book is available on Amazon, and you can bookmark us and click on through and show a little love all the way around. DaveBerry.com is where you go if you want to find out about Dave Barry. Yes, Gina Grant.
And just as a technical question, is this a usable Haggadah for Pesach, or is this something you read after or before? Kind of.
First of all, I note that you pronounce it correctly. So
thank you.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and ask if you are a person of the Jewish persuasion.
I am.
Okay.
Is this,
I'm
should
not.
I buy a dozen of these or, oh, you're not?
Yes, yes, you should absolutely buy a dozen.
But do I put these at the table or not?
Now, here's the thing. I'm not Jewish. The reason I'm involved in this is that my two co-authors, Adam Mansbach and Alan Zweibel, are Jewish, but my contribution is my wife is Jewish. She's Cuban Jewish, Juban, they call it. There's a lot of them in Miami. My joke, they didn't come on rafts, they parted the Caribbean. But there's a lot. Anyway, my wife is Jewish. My daughter is Jewish. She had a bat mitzvah and everything. So I've gone to temple more than most of my Jewish friends, and I've been to more seders than them. But to answer your question, we had to decide at the beginning whether we two major decisions. One, should it be usable as a real Haggadah, which is the kind of ritual you go through when you have this incredibly long meal called a seder. And the other one was whether it should have the F-bomb in it, because Adam Mansbach, I don't even know if we're allowed to say it.
Go ahead.
I can say it?
Oh. Yes.
Adam Mansbach wrote Go the Fuck to Sleep, which sold 80 trillion copies. And his, like, I think his main literary instinct is to put fuck into everything. So there are a lot of fucks in this book originally. And we said, well, you know, if people are really going to use this at a table, you know, with the grandparents there and the kids there, you can't really. So we had to go through and defuck the whole book, which took a while.
Stuff.
We now feel that this nobody that I know of has actually used this yet, because we haven't come to the first Passover Seder yet. But many people have claimed to me, people have bought it in quantities, and some of these people are rabbis, obviously Reform rabbis, who claim they're going to use it. And I'm really curious to see how that works out.
Oh, I can't wait.
Make sure
it has the right number of cups of wine, plus way more if you're interested.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Make sure they get the unfucked version.
The defucked version.
Hey, Dave, you ever get out to L.A.?
Yeah, sometimes, occasionally.
Oh, well, come pay us a visit, please.
I would love to do that.
You don't need a book to hawk, but we'll hawk it anyway.
I'll just come over and we'll just talk.
It's available, by the way, for this, We Left Egypt, available at Amazon right now, and the website, DaveBerry.com, DaveBerry.com. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. You will always be the offensive lineman of the year for me.
Thank you, brother. The man listens. Oh, Gary found a picture with a trophy with me. Yeah, that's a picture you have, right?
Right. I'm sorry if the note I sent you is a little long, but in the book you were talking about not talking about material. In the book, this picture I'm showing you here from your grandmother's house does not appear. There is a picture in the book of you holding what appears to be the same trophy, but you're on the field in uniform with
same.
A Boyd brother.
No, yeah, it's not the same trophy.
Close.
Well, all trophies all football trophies are pretty close. The Boyd brother was from years
that's
earlier.
That's the one in the book.
Yeah.
That's Natalia's face, by the way. That's
sad
crazy.
For her. You talking about James Boy? Yeah, one was when I was 9 or 8 or 9, and the other was probably about 10 or something like that. But
were you bummed that this trophy that he came over to give you wasn't presented in front of a crowd?
No, I wanted a windbreaker.
I know.
That's all I could think of. Well, then what book is that picture from? Because I feel like it was in one of those books.
Maybe it could be. I'll start searching through
them. That doesn't matter. So the one with me and James Boyd, my black brother, was from Not Taco Bell material.
Yeah, it's like 5 pages in. It's right at the start.
That was from my second year when we lost the championship, but they let us pose with the trophy anyway, or the concert. I don't remember the trophy. All right, so that was me when I was at grandma's. I must have been 10. Weird that I was so. I could only imagine my son being bummed out by not having a windbreaker.
Yeah.
The guy's got like Yeezys, Nike Yeezy shoes from. God, it's so sad.
Well, do you know what to do with a windbreaker? Like in his life, like, do I keep this? Do I give it away? Do I let Phillies
Well,
play
I
with
imagine
it?
If it had his basketball team's logo on it and his name on it and all the other kids from the team were wearing it, he'd enjoy it. Yeah. But it wouldn't be a question of whether he'd get one or not. They'd be $23 and you just order it and get it.
Right.
Like, it's weird how everything. See, my family was so cheap that you know, $9 was $9. It didn't much matter what it was for. It was just $9. So it's not like, well, you can't pin. You can't spend $9 on candy, but you can spend $9 on a yearbook or on a windbreaker. It's like, no, $9 is $9. You're not getting anything for $9. Weird, screwed up bunch of ass wipes. Anyway, I love them dearly. Where were we? Ah, we got the news coming. Oh, someone's been on hold for a million years. Let's try it. Talk to Scott, 31, Houston. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, man.
Yeah, I've got a job offer that I need to decide on by tomorrow, and I thought I'd get your opinion on it.
All right.
I work for the companies that we make oil field parts. We, you know, make bits and drill rigs and all the different pieces and parts. But
You're in the oil industry. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, I'm deciding whether to take a lateral move in my environmental position to a competitor, and I'm kind of thinking your words of bet on yourself.
Yeah.
And waiting out for
when
a
I say that,
position.
I mean me, not you, though. Wow. Bet on Adam.
Scott, you should bet on Adam.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. True. You guys should all bet on me. When I say yourself, I mean myself.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right.
So
you're on the environmental side of it?
Yeah, the environmental permitting side.
Right.
The manufacturing facilities.
Times are good.
And yeah. It's a 25% raise, so it's a pretty substantial raise. I just don't know if I should hold out and wait for something that's a better long-term position as opposed to just going for the short-term money.
Well, is there somewhere to go once you've... Well, you're 31. That's a pretty good raise when you're 31.
I guess in my head, I've got the clock's ticking thing going on.
Well, that's good. You have kids? You married?
Married, saving for a house right now, so the money'd be good to buy a house, but I don't want to turn down. I want to make sure long term money is the goal, not short term money.
Yeah, what is what's a nice medium sized house around Houston cost?
The ones we're looking at, you know, they'd probably be, you know, the three store kind of like townhouses, but detached. You're looking at if you're in the city, $350. If you're outside of the city, you can
wow outside.
If you're outside the city, if you want to drive an hour like you do out there, or 2 hours, then you can get down to $250.
Well, we drive an hour, but we're only 4 miles away. That's what we do. All right. I don't know why the 25% bump in the new company is going to impede your big term money making ability.
Is it a temp job of some kind?
No, it's a permanent position. I just think it's a more narrow position. And I'm afraid I'm pigeonholing myself into something.
Mm. All right. Look, I'll defer to whatever instincts you have on this. At 31, I would take the money. But if you thought 10 years from now you're going to be stuck, then I wouldn't do it. So I do like the bigger picture plan. Does your wife work?
Yeah, she does.
What's she do?
She's a buyer for a retail store.
I always
pick the clothes and what goes to wear.
Does she do okay?
Yeah, she does. She's supposed to get promoted pretty soon too.
Well, that's nice. All right, I'd discuss it with her. I'd go for the short money unless you think it's going to impede you.
I'm going to quote a wise man, Mr. Adam Carolla, who once said, "You might remember saying this. You got to move on if you want to move up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Taking the same job at another company is going to make you seem a little more valuable. At the very least, you know, the new guy comes in, he must know things, as opposed to the other company. You could have a bit of a rut. You know what I mean? Where it's like, he's that guy, and you know, like you said when you were offered the van driver position at K-Rock, like they'll look at you as this if you don't, you know, move on.
Yeah, that was Jimmy. But yeah, I wanted to take the van driver job. And Jimmy said, no, they're going to look at you as a van driver.
Sometimes you got to move up.
I'll go out with that. True Car, baby. You want to move up? You want to move on? How about True Car? Buy new, buy used. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So wherever you are, if you can hear my voice, there's a car waiting for you over at True Car. Again, new or used. You get upfront pricing info, discounts off the list price, and a better overall buying experience. You see what others paid for the car you want. Get the fair price. Connect with the local certified dealer. Enjoy a quick and easy buying experience. Our own Chris Max Pata used it to buy his Prius. I thought the thing was new. Looked that good. So when you're ready to buy new or used or just whenever you need a new car, and treat yourself to a new car. It's really the nicest thing you can do for yourself, and it's safe. It's a hell of a lot safer than that old car you're driving around. New, used, it is True Car, baby. TrueCar.com. All right, Gina Grad, what do we got?
Lots of news.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, as you know by now, Chuck Berry died Saturday in his hometown of St. Louis. He was 90 years old. The father of rock and roll created an enduring legacy of teenage music, which became a songbook for countless musicians, to name a few, the Beatles, Beach Boys, Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen. In fact, John Lennon summed it up by saying, quote, if you were going to give rock and roll another name, you might call it Chuck Berry. But while Berry may have done much to lay the groundwork for...
I still love him and Yoko. That footage of John singing with Chuck Berry, his idol. The
what?
British guys idolized the black blues guys.
That's true. Mick Jagger did huge.
All the British guys loved all the black blues guys from the 50s and 60s. And so they idolized. So for John Lennon to get up on stage and sing with Chuck Berry was a, even though John Lennon was John Lennon, I think it was a much bigger deal for John Lennon.
I've never seen that footage.
And then Yoko.
Well, it's notable because Yoko was there.
Oh,
she was on stage. Performing.
Oh, no.
Gary will dig that out, but it's awesome because it's Yoko contributing as only Yoko can, which is by not doing anything because she doesn't possess any talent at all. This is from, I don't know, Mike Douglas or something, or one of those shows from back in the...
Yep, Mike Douglas show, 1972.
Yoko's playing the non-instrument.
Oh, help me,
so you got to realize the marching order for Yoko. Sweetie, pull up an apple crate. We're going to take this hollowed-out gourd with some lambskin pulled over it. We're not going to mic it up. And you just sit there and, you know, tap in time. Oh, Yoko's got the mic.
For the last time I saw Marie, she's waving me goodbye.
Hello, John.
Hello. My hand is on my cheek, trickle from her eyes. Marie is only singing.
John and Chuck are sharing a microphone. Yeah. Having like a moment.
What the hell was that?
She picked the microphone from waist high at her bongo and started yelling into it.
Is Chuck just politely ignoring that?
Yes.
Yeah. Because he's got a strong pimp hand, but he's keeping it in his pocket. He made a move to her like, hey, bitch, zip it. Voice like an instrument, like so while everyone else is doing that thing, that crescendo move at the end, she's like, oh, all right.
Wow.
He'll be missed.
Well, I saw your tweet, Brian, and about David Wilde maybe coming in, and I think that's apt because a lot of people know that there was a sort of an infamous side.
An eccentric side to Chuck Berry?
Sure, to Chuck Berry. Couple of things. He had been incarcerated near the height of his fame for transporting a minor over state lines. He later served time in jail for tax evasion. He was also hit with a class action lawsuit from multiple women accusing Berry of making videotapes while they were undressing and using the bathroom on his property and at a restaurant. You know about these videotapes, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I know people who claim to have seen them, but I have not seen them myself.
Production quality is low, but that's part of the charm.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
That was weird. I turned on my tweets today, and I saw one from President Obama saying, like, hey, we're going to miss you, pal. And I thought, that's a little weird for the guy who had the 60-something women come forward, like, in this day and age. Yeah. Like, you can say a legend, he'll be missed, but it's weird. It's like he said, like, buddy. Hey, buddy. And it was because I don't know. Like, I feel like in this this with the Cosby stuff floating around out there and whatever's going on out there, Chuck kind of missed that.
Yeah,
he kind of dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, he had a his run was at a good time.
But also, I feel it's weird to get personal with it because I think he had a couple skeletons in that closet.
Yeah, 60.
He said
questionably tasteful. Yes,
he had one at in least. His. I think the problem was is he had a camera in his restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he said it was there because he wanted to monitor people like getting ripped off. He thought he'd get ripped off. But then I think he had one at home, mm-hmm. too, which didn't help. And then I think he had the tapes. And then he settled, which is a million point whatever, mm-hmm. $1.3 million or something like that, which usually means this wasn't just a surveillance camera because right. you're getting ripped mm-hmm. off. But I don't. Was it just for them like disrobing or was it a going to the bathroom part?
I've heard that there's at least one videotape, and this is just from somebody who told me about it, who's seen it, that there's a POV of him holding the camera and urinating on a young woman mm-hmm. and oh, really boy. Having a good time with that. Mm-hmm. So I think that might have been a thing of his.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I don't know. Be missed. I didn't see it personally.
I loved Johnny B. Goode when I was a kid. I thought that was yeah. the greatest rock, one of the greatest rock songs
my
ever.
My first favorite song.
It was one of my first favorite songs, too. But my problem with Chuck Berry is he had 8 songs that sound almost exactly alike. And I was sort of like, I love Johnny B. Goode, and then there's other songs. But when you hear the first 10 seconds of the song and you didn't know what song it was, it felt like creatively, like,
stunted.
Maybe you should move pass this a little bit. But, all
but
right.
it served him well.
Served him well. Also, it's one of those things, too, where everyone talks to you about what to do. Half the pictures I saw the guy's holding a cigarette, and the other time he's holding his dick, and the other half he's holding a drink. It's like, I don't feel like that guy ever ate a piece of tofu or did a push-up in his life. I just feel like he was who he was. Yeah. And it's like, 90. Yeah.
90.
Like, if that's who you are, you're just going to 90.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Do you feel like Chuck Berry's clock was preordained for 90, and therefore have all the vermouth and smoke yes. all the cigarettes you want. You're just going to die when you're 90.
No amount of dangerous living, and you know, in his 30s and 20s is going to change that.
Right. Okay.
Well, Artie Lang has more drug trouble. According to TMZ, it got him arrested. Cops allegedly nailed the comic and radio host with cocaine and heroin in the parking garage of his Hoboken, New Jersey apartment complex on Sunday. He was booked on 3 charges and released. Artie tweeted Friday that he's doing well and listening to the advice of his lawyers. He's had long issues with drug and alcohol and reportedly attempted suicide in 2010. Yeah, I saw his tweets, too. It said, which one's first? Hey guys, I was arrested. I'm doing great physically too. I'm in St. Louis and I will be on stage this weekend at the Funny Bone. More in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And then says, FYI, the Hoboken cops treated me so great. Great people, professional. I thank them for that. Now a lawyer tells me what to do. So it sounds like a little bit of a slip up.
It's tough. It's got to be tough. If there's something you would not wish upon your kids, it would be that struggle. That everyday, ongoing, never-ending struggle with a substance, you know, drugs, alcohol, food, like just the struggle. Mm-hmm. The fact that some people, people get addicted to pornography or peeing on minors while holding a video camera. Like, just
for
that
example.
Struggle.
Yeah.
That thing, you know, like you.
And everywhere you look, there's minors. And you
no, you want that thing where it's like, hey, if I'm at a party, I'll have a few cocktails, and then on Monday, I won't.
Right.
Just that sort of homeostasis is the greatest way to go through life. And the people that don't have it are simply, it's like they can be sober and clean for 5 years. They're still struggling every day for that 5 years. Could you imagine that sort of burden?
No.
On a human being, and then it manifests itself in other ways. It becomes food or mm-hmm. whatever, dangerous behavior or sex, relationships, like whatever it is. It's just, it's so weird. And I know Dr. Drew can talk about the ins and outs of it, but it's just some people have that and they just fight with it their whole life.
And for the longest time, the narrative was, he loved the bottle. He loves the bottle. As though we, like, it's your choice. Like, I just love to drink so much, I can't stop. Like, no,
right.
you years from now, we'll know that you have this gene, and it makes your life pretty rough.
And I think that's why in a lot of recovery programs, they refer to it as an allergy. And you think, that's a stupid way to...
Oh, really?
Yeah, that you have an allergy to drinking. You have an allergy to drugs, because once you have that drink, your whole body and brain is affected by it. So it's referred to, maybe not, you know, the literal term, but it is referred to as an allergy. You can't have it. You are allergic to that. It makes you act in a certain way, and you can't stop yourself.
Well, Artie's a sweet guy, and he's a super funny guy, and he's one of those guys where if you get to share the stage with him, you go, oh, good, it's Artie. Like, that's like the best compliment you can say about a personality, which is, oh, good, I'll do 90 minutes, and he'll be standing here, and this is going to be a lot easier because he's out there.
Yeah.
And always a good guy, even though he made fun of he made fun of me on his podcast about, I think, Mike August reached out to him. Mike August was like taking it upon himself to reach out to everyone to congratulate me on my 2000th podcast or whatever it was. I remember what it was. And then he got on his podcast. Somebody sent me a clip. And he acted like I reached out to him. This is the biggest problem with Hollywood. The biggest problem with Hollywood is like when they tell the story of me thinking I was being stalked by Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks, they leave out the part where she called me and asked me to escort her to the Grammys. They just have this part where Adam thought he was being, it's like,
delusional.
Right.
There is a whole story here.
He got a giant bouquet and it said Natalie on it, so he assumed it was Natalie from the Dixie Chicks. But no. She called me and took me to the Grammys with her. So there was a little reality.
The beginning of the story.
Yeah. Do you have? Oh, Gary has it. This is already making fun of me. Or Mike. I think it's me. Or maybe he doesn't have it.
Nope. Sorry, Mike. Quick time crash. Here we go.
All right.
Jimmy's host of the Oscars. How much? That must piss Adam Carolla off on a level. Get you a bud.
Jeez.
Adam Carolla wanted me to leave a message for his. What is it? His 2000th episode?
2000.
I'm leaving a message for your goofy 2000th episode. He's the Lou Gehrig of podcasting. Maybe he'll die of Adam Carolla's disease.
See how people laugh when
it's a unique blend of wit and talking to
him.
And bad construction decisions.
Well, Artie said something funny.
But, no, I like Adam, I guess. But, you know, I guess I do. I don't know. I don't know if he likes me or not. He can't gauge it. He's inventing a new liquor this week that Mike August can... But, I mean, I had to sit there and pretend that I like that liquor. Are you kidding me?
He can't drink it.
So he wanted me to leave a message. Congratulations on your 2000th stupid show. And I was going to leave some joke ones, but I said, you know what? You've worked so hard. You should go on vacation. You and your wife should go someplace where you've never been, like Jimmy Kimmel's new house.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
That's good. See, I laugh at that. Extended laughter. Easy. It's still going.
Wow, he's wheezing.
Oh, that's a clip.
Yeah. Did you know that Jimmy Jimmy and his agents, since you don't talk to him anymore, they have a nickname for you. Ain't gonna split the Adam Carolla.
That's only gonna get 20 seconds of laughter.
I love the pause at Carolla 11. Yeah, they think you're stupid. No, of course, Adam's a very smart guy. And, you know, 2000, let's play this by the numbers. 2000, number of people who saw your last movie.
Jeez, that'd be move up.
Nice. He's asking fans to fund his movies. Somebody asked me to do that for Beer League 2. I would never in a million fucking years. Why not just go in their house and steal shit? Why not just get their address and go in and steal, like I don't know, a Humble collection their mother gave them? What the fuck are you doing? Asking them for money? Oh, my God. Douche.
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 There you go. This has got to make Carolla seethe.
If you can see him now, right?
No, I'm not. I mean, what am I going to say for 2000? You know, it's a crazy thing they ask you 2000. What am I going to say? Everything I want to say is a roast joke, like I was just doing. But Adam gets all sensitive.
I know.
He knows you so well.
He called me disheveled. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I could call him up and describe Jimmy's new house. If you ever get there, listen.
You're pretty sensitive. He is right. You played the clip.
Yeah, I don't have any feelings about that kind of stuff. I don't know who does, but sometimes people do.
He's making jokes.
Well, it seemed there was a moment there where there was a lot of information. I like him, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if he likes me. So I think there was a little walking the line. He didn't want to seem too, you know, into you if you weren't into him.
Artie and I have always got along great.
Yeah.
Always.
He's been on the show a handful of times. He's a nice fellow.
I've been on his show when he was doing like DirecTV a bunch of times. Oh, it Howard. Always. So, I think we get along pretty good.
It was a good roast.
I don't mind any part of it other than the part where I call them to ask about the I would never. I would, like, if Mike told me I was I'm going to call a bunch of people and get them, I'd be like, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's my wiring. It's not my wiring. So, but it seems weird that I'm calling, hey, I'm doing 2,000 shows.
I want you to
please congratulate me. I will record it. No, that's Mike completely on his own. All right. What do we got?
All right. Well, the Washington Post reports that Saturday Night Live is enjoying its highest rated season in 2 decades, and it's going to finish out by doing something the series has never done before. It is going live, coast to coast. Usually SNL airs on the East Coast at 11:30.
They do two versions?
Yeah, they do a tape delay, 3 hours later. But the last 4 shows of this season are all going to be live. So here in L.A., we're going to get it at
9:30, 11:30.
Everyone gets one show.
I don't think they'd ever do that.
That'd be really hard.
Yeah. So that's going to start on April 15th with Jimmy Fallon as the host. The next week will be Chris Pine, then Melissa McCarthy, then Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That'll be May 20th.
Lineup.
Oh, and then, meanwhile, the regular show will go on its typical summer break, but 4 standalone episodes of just Weekend Update by itself, which, you know, comments on the political news of the week, that will come to primetime starting August 10th. So
it's
they're
a good
really
idea.
Mining the political atmosphere.
Sure.
For all its
why not?
Right now, yeah.
Struck while the iron's hot.
Best thing that ever happened mm-hmm. to them. And also, you know, they are in that safe harbor after 10 p.m., you know, and standards and practices mm-hmm. change a little at 8:30 mm-hmm. than they do. So I will see how it, we'll see how that works.
That's a good point. Oh, things that can't be aired here can be aired there.
No, I think what they're going to do, is when they pass
save
the
some
material
of the
pass
for later
there,
in the show.
They're going to have to. No, not later, because the show's an hour, and it's still only 9:30.
An hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half.
It's still not into the safe harbor
time.
10
p.m. for us. Because it's starting at 8:30, it'll go till 10.
Oh, 8:30, yes.
No,
yes,
what they'll have to do is they'll have to pass it through the 8:30 to 10 sieve.
You're right.
Not the 11:30 to 1 sieve that they passed, which got bigger holes in it.
Right. Ooh, that'll be interesting. I hope it's not watered down just for, you know, the gimmick of doing it live.
The reality is nobody cares, and no one ever really cared, and it's that kind of thing. It's basically the standards and practices thing is sort of like Scientology, which is everyone just cowered for 25 years, and then Leah Remini and somebody wrote a book, and somebody started talking, and everyone went like,
gates are open.
Who cares? Like, why were we hiding over here the whole time? Like,
cowering.
There's really, with cable and, you know, SiriusXM and the internet and the YouTube and
Game of Thrones, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
Everything. Is there any reason to hold yourself to this anymore?
No. It's a little antiquated.
It certainly shifted at the very least.
Yeah, look, when I got on radio, I was like, titty bar. No.
Hey,
can't say titty bar. I was like, why not? Can't say titties. I was like, well, you say boobs. Yeah, boobs fine. Jugs fine. You know, breastises fine. Winnebago's fine. Over the shoulder boulder holder for a bra. Yeah, fine. Fine, whatever you want. Areolas, fine. Nipples, fine. Titties, no. No. And I was like, I always knew, okay, hold on. This is insanely flawed because I can say jugs and boobs and gazambas, but I can't say titties. No, you cannot say titties. And I was like, this is insane and random.
Yeah.
And it's insane and random. And insane and random don't last. Mm-hmm. It's like the terror alert chart that we came out with right after 9/11, which is, well, orange is elevated, right? Yellow is dangerous, right? Yeah. Magenta is look eminent, yeah. Eminent.
Green
is heightened. And then cream colored is, and I'm like, hold on, there's no direction to those colors. We need to have one is this, two is this, three, you know, or A is this, B is, there's nothing sequential about orange and yellow, really. I mean, yeah, you could say code red or something like that, but how long can this system last that has no, every time someone says, we're in burnt orange.
Oh my God.
What do we do?
What's that mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, let me look it up.
Am I upset?
Yeah. It's a system that doesn't work because it doesn't have any inherent order to it. And jugs and boobs and can't say tits has no order to it. And when it has no order, it never lasts. Yeah. And by the way, now you can say titty bar.
Really?
Or tits. You can say, yeah.
I'll try that out.
You could always say it, which was the crazy part. Yeah, try it out.
I remember my boyfriend had the same argument with the same people at Two and a Half Men over whether they could say taint or not. Turns out they could not say taint. They could say balls.
Right.
I think that was the split they made.
I like when it's always funny when they're like, we won't give you taint, but we'll give you back sack. Yeah. Okay? Be happy. I'm in a good mood.
You can say grundle, but once. Only once.
I'm in a good mood. Right.
Well, the LA Times reports that sheriff's officials are spending $300,000 on items they say would make the deputies look more professional in their jobs. Sheriff Jim McDonnell is spending the money on a minor cosmetic makeover of the uniforms. What he's doing is he's changing the color of the belt buckle and other metal pieces from silver to gold. And that is costing $300,000. That way, the metallic bits, all made of brass, will match the gold-hued tie clips, lapel pins, and six-pointed star badges that will... he says will make them look more professional. The sheriff says the change is important, but the move has generated criticism, obviously, from some rank-and-file deputies and others who argue that this is a gross misuse of money at a time when the department is struggling to deal with more fundamental problems than the appearance of buttons on a uniform.
Yeah. You
can't really tell the difference.
There's
anyway.
Like $350 or $50,000?
Yes.
So that's like one quarter of an innocent black kid being gunned down with no weapon in their hand. Like, they need that money.
Yeah.
They got to pay that stuff out.
But doesn't one look like more of an authority figure?
They both look exactly the same to me. I'm looking at a picture.
Very similar.
I can't honestly tell you which side is gold and which side is silver, but either way, I just think doing your job probably the best expression of what you're doing.
Yeah, small to big, though, right?
Yeah. I swear to God, the picture I'm looking at, Gary, I can't tell you what side.
No, you're
which.
Not insane. I was just having a conversation with these guys. Something about that image is washed out. It was the one on the right. It's got a gold belt buckle.
It was a little more yellow hue to it.
I think our monitor's a little weathered.
Let me tell you about Smart Mouth, and you get ready with the next story. Man. Smart Mouth, man, the only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent bad breath from coming back for 12 full hours. Two separate liquids combined to activate. They make zinc ions that stop bacteria from producing sulfur gas for 12 full hours. So you give it a shot, you give the Smart Mouth a shot before you go to bed. And then you wake up with fresh breath, not morning breath. It's funny, morning breath sounds good. It's not. Nothing ruins an intimate moment more quickly than nasty breath. So next time you're out drinking, smoking, again, a lot of people drink. A lot of people only smoke when they drink, and that's a compounding thing. Things are getting high. Use Smart Mouth before heading home. Maybe meet somebody, huh? You're heading home, you want to impress. Use Smart Mouth before you head out. Even prevents the morning breath. Visit smartmouth.com. I find them at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop. Smart Mouth. I caught a bat today.
What?
Wow. A bat.
Where?
I was romping around in the swimming pool with Natalia and Philly Cheesesteak. The water is cold, but it's warmer outside, so Natalia's down because she's, you know, part Viking and banshee, and she's into it. She's screaming and splashing and craziness. And so it was me and her slosh around a frigid pool today, and then at a certain point said, I'm taking Philly Cheesesteak for a walk. And I got Phil on his leash. I was proud of myself for my deductive reasoning, which was I've never really seen a bat in the light or anything but in movies or hanging upside down or in the trees or whatever. But this was a miniature bat. It had a wingspan of about 6-7 inches. But when bats rest, and they're resting on a stucco vertical wall in the middle of the wall, they sleep, or they do whatever, with their wings completely folded in. And it looks like somebody took a brown walnut half, the shell, and just stuck it to the wall. Like, you just look at it, there's no eyes, there's no claws, there's no talons, there's no anything. It just looks like a weird brown mass stuck to the wall. And I walked out of the door, and I immediately noticed it. It was just sitting there right in the middle of the wall. And I looked at it, and I went, the hell is that? I've never seen a bat before. And I was like, quick piece of, like, looked like a piece of plant life. But, like, how did a mushroom or a piece of plant life, like, get up halfway up this wall and spring up overnight? So I was like, it's not that.
Did you think, like, beehive or, you know, wasps?
Yeah, I thought, like, some sort of insect or something. And then I saw it was, like, kind of one piece. And I just looked at it a little closer, and I went, it's got to be a bat. Even though I don't really know what a bat looks like, what else could it be? It's not a hummingbird. It's not an insect. It's too wide and too thick or too whatever. And so I put a jar over it. I caught it, brought it back to the kids, because I thought it was like one of those things dad should do, you know?
Sure.
Caught the bat, and it was flapping around inside, scaring the crap out of everybody. And eventually, that move where it was like cooped up, I took the dog for a walk, came back, it was still cooped up, and everyone was in the house. I was like, well, where's the bat? That's outside. It's in the thing. I said, it's in the sun. We got to get him out of there. So we went to go release him. And that thing where they're all cooped up, and then at some point, you open the jar, the lid, and you run. Nothing happens. Oh, no. Then you walk up, and you start banging on it like nothing happens. Then you start like leaning, blowing into it and stuff, and eventually it just took off and flew right at me.
You didn't suffocate the
bat. And made me
bat.
Do like the crazy chick dance while it flew at my chest, but went over the fence and went away. So that was my my run-in with a bat today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you capture it?
It was on the wall.
First, I wasn't exactly sure what it was. I was pretty sure it seemed like a bat all folded up, but I didn't know for sure. So I was kind of curious, like, what is this creature? I want to know. Secondly, my kids have not really had that experience that we all had as kids, which is catching centipedes and things like
lightning
that.
Bugs.
Wanting for things.
Wanting for things. Yeah, they're too busy with, you know, they got the 3D goggles on. They're throwing punches in the air in the living room in their underpants. And that thing of when you'd catch a salamander or centipede or something weird, eating a potato bug, one of those big old beetles, you know, something. It was just kind of cool, like getting a jar and putting it in the jar. They didn't seem to give a shit. No. But for me, that was like, that was kind of a part of growing up.
Yeah.
That thing, you know. I remember once we caught like a trapdoor spider. If you ever see a trapdoor spider, they come up, the little flap swings up. Think Red Dawn when they trap.
I know
when they trap the rooskies and they all popped up, pow pow pow. Yeah, that's trapdoor spiders too.
Never heard of a trapdoor spider.
Oh, they're cool.
They have like a little hole, but they have like a flap on top of it, and they pop out and catch things.
Sweet. Yeah, they must use.
They're very smart.
They must use a little bit of web to like make it hingy and kind of hold together, and they pop up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And cool.
As someone in construction, you can respect that.
I can respect it, yeah.
The craftsmanship.
Cool. Yeah. The strike side is the side where you put the latch, and the butt side is where they spin their hinges. All right, one more.
All right. Well, remember a few months back we talked about how there was going to be this big replacement in the Monopoly board. Mm-hmm. Tokens, as they're called, the pieces that you move. Mm-hmm. We are getting new ones, and they have been announced.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. So the three new additions to the Monopoly board game are Rubber Ducky, a penguin, and a T-Rex. Fans of the board game voted over a 21-day period, and these were the three that were selected. They're going to join the classic Scotty Dog, the Top Hat, the Car, the Battleship, and the Cat in the new edition out this fall. So no more iron, no more wheelbarrow, no more thimble.
Yeah, I don't like the T-Rex.
No? Why not?
Because
seems pretty badass.
It causes this big argument because I remember playing this when I was a kid. It's like, that T-Rex is going to destroy my penguin. Come on. That's not fair that you get the T-Rex. Well, I got that. We rolled the dice and I was closest and whatever. I would like none of them to be able to destroy the other one.
Yeah.
The rubber ducky and the penguin could all be destroyed by the T-Rex.
Right.
And people think it's not an advantage. It's not an advantage. It's what kids will argue about when they're going to play the game. They're all going to, every 10-year-old on the planet is going to want the T-Rex and not the ducky, especially boys.
Yep.
So it just gives you one more argument to settle and one more argument to have.
Before you can play the game.
Before you can play the game.
So between the thimble, the iron, and the wheelbarrow, which was the one that was the big
The thimble,
prize?
The iron. The iron, I didn't like. The wheelbarrow was a little spindly for me. And for some reason, the thimble had the most heft to it.
Yeah, and people like to play with it.
I like the heft of it.
The heft, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Those were all lame, but I would have chose the wheelbarrow because at least it moved. You know,
yeah,
it was
Horace Lynette knew it as the huh, the what, and the who.
Put those were names for
the wheelbarrow, the thimble, the and the iron. She called the huh, the what, and the who.
The why.
And the why. I think it might have been why. The why, the what, and the who. Yes, indeed. All right. Oh, speaking of domestic bliss, Olga made me a big old pot of goulash. Now, somebody, I don't know who it was. Well, it was Lynette's idea, so I'm giving her credit. Somebody sent in like their old time goulash recipe, and Olga made me a big old pot of goulash on Thursday night. Mm. Goulash is good. Goulash soup is pretty good, and goulash stew is pretty good. And it's not quite analogous, but it's a little like eating spaghetti and meatballs without the spaghetti. It's like you're just eating meat and sauce. It's a little bit. There's carrots and onions. It's a little more than that, but it's not quite. It's what you need. Oh, we got a picture of it. Yeah. Lynette.
That looks good.
Yeah, Olga made this beautiful Hungarian goulash, and it's the best. The paprika is great, or paprika, as everyone calls it out here, all that stuff. But what I realized is it needs the no kettle. And Gary will look up an image of no kettle or no kettle-y. I think it's N-O-K-E-D-L-E, I think. It was a very interesting conversation because my grandfather, we never call paprika. He'd call it paprikash or paprika. At one time, I found this Transylvanian, the Transylvanian, like Hungarian restaurant in Hollywood. And what how you can tell is the no kettle. Those are the little spretzel dumplings. They're the little pasty dumpling things that you then take the chicken paprikash or the goulash, you dump it on top of it. It is immediately unbelievable.
Yeah.
You were right with your spelling, but it ends with an I.
Oh, look at you.
It ends with an I.
Yeah, oh. N-O-K-E-D-L-I.
Oh. No kettle I?
No kettle.
Well, ask if there's one. Look, see if there's one with an E, too.
Maybe that's,
either way.
Maybe that's plural.
I went, so I go to this Hungarian place, and I'm trying to figure out, so you can test whether they're good or not, whether they have, if they have no kettle or no kettle-y, they're good. So it's like the chick's there, and I'm like, you guys serve Hungarian food? Yes, we do. I got the stuffed peppers, the cabbage and all that stuff, and goulash and everything. Okay. Do you have no kettle? Excuse me? No kettle?
No, we cook it in a kettle.
No. We don't know that one. You have the goulash, but you don't have the no kettle? No.
You sound like a spy trying to make an exchange. Yeah.
We don't have that. I'm thinking, all right, I got to get out of here. Yeah. So no, you do not possess no kettle. No. So the little...
Double negative.
So no kettle. No kettle minus no kettle. Yes. Yes. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So the little dumplings, you don't have... Oh, no kettle-y? Yes.
The thing that's a letter off from what I was saying?
I mentioned this 128 times, and yes, that one. The part, I don't mind the part where you call it this and I call it that. Mm-hmm. I mind the part where the 21st time I say no kettle, you go, well, we have something called no kettle-y. Maybe we're talking about
close?
The same thing.
Yeah.
The part where it's like, just nope, not that.
It's like you don't know the password.
Yeah.
Yeah, he... called it no kettle, and they call it no kettle-y. But so we got this big old pot of goulash, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just, you work a little sour cream in with it. We get it hot and whip a little sour cream into it. So I am announcing we need the no kettle. Got to make the no kettle.
And that's like no kettle-y? We have that.
And the no kettle's easy. It is one egg. It's basically... cup of flour, half cup of water, and one egg.
You're making
pasta. And just whip it up. Yeah. And then this discussion I have all the time, I'm standing in my kitchen, like, Lynette's like, I think they have it at the place in Glendale. I'm like, It's the easy.
Or.
And like, Olga's like, we can pick some up on the way. And I'm like, it's one egg, one cup of flour, one half cup of water, whatever. And you whip it up, and it comes out like pancake batter that's sort of sticky pancake batter, but the consistency of a thicker, stickier pancake batter. Now, so yesterday I was like, we're going no kettle. So we did not have flour, but we did.
All-purpose flour?
I literally went to the Ralph's on Saturday and bought one sack of flour for $2.45. That was all. And I came home, and I just mix it up, and I made it into this, just one egg, a little bit of water, a cup of flour, and I just made it into this consistency. Now, we didn't have a big boar. And what you do, if you guys want to do this, and the reason I'm telling you, it is delectable, and it's the greatest base for any gravy mm-hmm. you put on top of it. The thing about pasta and all kinds of, a little thin, a little whatever, this is a little bit chewy, and that's what makes it amazing, and the size is just perfect. And the way you get the size, what they tell you to do is you get a big boar, like grater, like a cheese grater, but the big holes. Mm-hmm. And they actually have, my grandfather had one of these, sort of cup funnel, and you pour it in the top and slide it back and forth over boiling water. And as they hit the water, they would sink to the bottom. And then when they were done, they would float up to the top, and you just skim them off with your strainer spoon, whatever. Wow. The best. I've never done it in my life. I nailed it. Lynette had it. I had it. The kids had it. It was awesome.
Did you use like a mandolin, a kitchen mandolin?
I'm sure they had plenty of those.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the flour, so.
Yeah, listen, the Dahmer party was better equipped than us in terms of the kitchen utensils. I found a big outdoor burger spatula, the kind that have the holes in it.
Like,
they're kind of oblong or shaped or oval shaped, like bigger, like mm-hmm. quarter inch and an inch wide. And when I found this thing with all these different shapes on it, like, I'm going to put this on top of the pan of boiling water, and I'm going to dump my mixture on top of it and just kind of rub it back and forth with a spoon. Came out absolutely amazing and perfect, except for one thing I screwed the pooch on.
What?
Underneath the spatula, as they were rising up, it created this iceberg on top, and I was going on top of it, and I was binding them together. So what you do is you do a run, and then remove your thing and take your strainer and take it off top, shake it off, put it in the hopper, and then go for the second one, because the second one will land on the first one. Still able to pull it all apart, delectable and unbelievable. So everyone do it. Tweet me, show me a picture, and enjoy that. And do your chicken paprikash. Unbelievable. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Life lock, baby. Chances are a lot of you using the same password for multiple accounts. It's a bad habit. Increases the chances of hacks and identity theft. Install a password manager and get LifeLock. Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. I got it. You should get it. My kids have it. Lynette has it. Everybody has it. Just think about all. By the way, when we're done here, Final Air's going online. He's getting one of those funnel grater things to slide back and forth. That's an online item for
Big day.
Information's out there. So get the LifeLock. They're U.S.-based, so if there is a problem, they can take care of it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. And membership started just $9.99 a month. That's it. I'm going to spend more of that on Big Boar graters in the next 3 minutes. $9.99 a month. It is the industry standard. It is LifeLock. Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK. 1-800-LIFELOCK.
All right. If you want to come out and see the Spike Show, you go to AdamCarolla.com and come on out. Say hi. See how the fudge is packed. Sandler will be there on Tuesday night, so you can come on out and see us do it all live. You want to go to, yes, Gary.
Yeah, and if you email Carolla questions at Adam at gmail.com, rather, that is a way you can, if you're in the LA area, come and be in the audience and maybe ask Adam a question on the air. So check that out.
Nice. See me on Kimmel tonight, making my 50th appearance on Kimmel. which they told me the other day. I was surprised.
Maybe Artie can call in and congratulate you for that.
Mike, call Artie. Tell him I need to be congratulated. Yeah. Me and Dennis Prager, no safe spaces at Cal State Northridge. I'm told it's going to chart on the Billboard charts. So they say to Max Zapata. So that's available now on iTunes and Amazon. AdamCarolla.com. It's just $4.99. That's a good 100 minutes of some wisdom there. And you go to Chassis, CHASSY.com, and check it out. Click on through and love you guys. And also, Corolla Drinks, man. Say hi to Lynette over there. She loves it when you say hi. 50% off shipping. Use the code SNOWDAY. So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dave Barry. And Gina Grandmold, Ryan Saint. Mahalo. For this, we left Egypt.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Phone number, if you want to leave us a message, is 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio, 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California, from 5:30 to 9:30 a.m. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, Endless Rant IPA, books, movies, TV, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.